Todd. What's going on, man?
Hey, well, just spending my mornings listening to you guys a little bit more now that I don't have three spring break classes and an adult learn to golf class, and our driving range isn't completely slammed. So yeah, happy to join and happy to be listening a little bit more.
How's quarantine and isolation treating you? Have you been able to get outside for a walk and some fresh air? What have you been up to, man?
Last couple of days been pretty good about the lockdown. Actually, haven't gone anywhere the last couple. That's sort of a thing that's been on everyone's mind, really, is where do you draw the line? What is going to be acceptable for social distancing, and what is an essential service? Those questions are having to be answered by governing bodies of every level, whether it's a local community center where the government hasn't mandated anything, local, I guess schools are closed, but, all the way up to like the PGA of Canada or the NGCOA, which is the National Golf Course Owners Association. These organizations are being looked towards to make some of those decisions pretty quick here. So I kind of had a feeling that was going to be a major topic for our discussion today. Mm-hmm. So, I haven't gone anywhere the last couple of days, just hanging out, trying to make the best of things.
Now, we've been talking, I'm sure you've been listening a little bit today. If not, then I'm catching you completely off guard. But we've been having quite the conversation on the show. The text line has been invested. I know it's been a big trend on Twitter. Is Todd Halpin elbows deep in Tiger King on Netflix?
So I was listening to you guys this morning talk about that. My girlfriend and I turned it on for about 15 minutes, and this is before I had heard all the hype about it, and I shut it off. I just was like, these guys are, I don't want my brain to have any of this content in my brain. There's other things I can be doing, and I just shut it off. Now, after this morning hearing it, what Boomer was saying and those guys were saying about episode 5 and that was Big Earn, right? I just caught the end of that. And, just his reaction to it. I've seen some crazy things in this world and seen some weird people, but, man, this took it to a whole new level. So I'll probably fire it up again pretty quick here.
You got it, man. I'm finished the whole series, and I'm telling you, it did lose me around episode 3. I'm like, okay, well, this is enough. But then it really takes off on episode 4 and 5, and it is certainly – I wouldn't say it's well worth your time, but in this time when we don't really have a ton going on, I would suggest it should be on your list. So when you get to it, maybe next week when we chat, we'll have more on Tiger King. But it is quite the adventure. So I do encourage you to stick with it and give it another shot. But let's get back on the task at hand. We are going to talk a little bit of golf. We had I know you were getting, back and forth with a couple of people on Twitter. I joined in on the conversation. It is a debate out there right now, Todd. We are getting to the nicer weather. The snow is melting. I don't know how many courses have their tarps off necessarily, but where are you at? You're right involved in the business. You mentioned it's how you make your living. But should golf courses be operating business as usual? Where is golf right now in the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah, big question there, Will. So just to give a little history there, when we made the decision at our facility to close down, I went into those meetings with, a lot of enthusiasm on trying to create social distancing. So for those that aren't familiar with our place, it's a double-decker driving range. There's ways that you could have used our facility, and maybe you still will like this in the future here with no transactions done on site. You pay online, maybe scan your phone or punch a code in using gloves or something like that and go to your stall and leave. So I was really following that path of, hey, let's innovate. Let's figure out ways to social distance and make things work. So more recently, since a lot of the, I wouldn't call it legislation, but, orders from the government and things like that have really come down heavy. Golf is being looked at as maybe something, we should close that down too. If the rec facilities are closed, if libraries are closed, why do golf courses get to stay open? So again, kind of luckily in Alberta, for the most part, we don't have to make that decision quite yet. We're going to get to watch the Lower Mainland, even Ontario, and obviously the United States, and see what their decisions lead to. And then hopefully in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or what have you, when golf courses may open in the Lethbridge Medicine Hat area, there's going to be a proxy. There's going to be some of that data that's been, you know, that's basically been done. And hopefully it forces our hand a little bit. And, you know, the Golf Canada and the PGA of Canada released a statement yesterday, and I'll actually read this out. I think it's important. So it says, where governments have not mandated the temporary closure of golf courses, operators of those facilities should take every health and safety precaution. So to me, that says, first and foremost, outside of what the government said, it's now up to the golf course owners. I think that's a slippery slope. And I'm thinking that may be something that changes even tomorrow, day after that, Monday, Tuesday. I'm not too sure when that's going to be, but with everything happening so quickly, I do expect there to be an official statement on golf, because there's 300,000 people employed in golf.
Mm-hmm.
There
are
6 million golfers, and the debate is real. Golf will be one of the first sports or first recreational activities back in action later. It will come. I do have full faith in that, and our whole industry is, we're working our tails off to get that ready. You know, I think that's kind of common knowledge now that they got, everyone's like, well, what about golf? You know, it's social distancing, you know, to a T. So I do think there is room for that, but I am hoping that either tomorrow we have a board meeting for the PGA of Alberta. So maybe some local recommendations will come of that, but I'm hoping that the government or even our governing bodies in golf take a bit more of a harder stance against it, against allowing golf to be there.
Yeah.
And I guess one of the reasons is, even if you were to create the most social distance policy possible, so let me just lay this out here. If you look at 60 golf courses in the Calgary area, and you made it so that only one person could play at a time at every 30 minutes. Okay, I can't think that that's pretty social distancing. A half hour tee time,
sure,
for just onesomes. So you're looking at 60 golf courses times 16 players a day. Now I lost my page here, so I lost the math. But you're looking at 960 people out and about driving to golf courses just in one day, just in Calgary. So when you look at that, well, how many of those people are going to make the decision to just pop by the store on the way home? Or,
right,
oh, they get a flat tire, or they have a breakdown and now they have to call a tow truck. And it's just, honestly, it just comes back to you're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. And, you know, our owners they want to be community leaders in saying that, you know, we don't want to be part of the problem. We're not going to be a hub for activity. It's just not going to happen. And we closed down on March 17th, pretty sure. Yeah. Over a week ago there. And so, yeah, leaving the decision up to the golf course owners, that's kind of where we stand right now in Alberta. Courses aren't open, so they don't have to make that decision yet. So anyhow, long story short, I anticipate that there's going to be some decisions coming down in the Lower Mainland, coming from the United States, that hopefully will help Alberta to either make the right decision, avoid making the wrong decisions, and also adapt the best policies without having to go through that trial and error period of saying, like, okay, there's no power carts, or, you know, the spacing of 10 minutes didn't work in Kentucky, didn't work. So we got to go 20 minutes. Like, we'll have a unique opportunity to just copy those ideas.
He is Todd Halpin. He's the Director of Instruction at Golf Canada in Calgary, and he's talking all things golf here, like he does every week with us in the 9 on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Todd, the interesting part, and I know that, you know, you've talked about it a little bit in your notes to me before the show, the text line brings it up. They've got a daughter who works in maintenance. The thing about golf courses, and this is where you run into the problem, as you mentioned, with all those vehicles driving around. You can't just leave a golf course for 6 months. You need to cut the grass daily. You need to have those maintenance people working. Now, you can have maintenance workers, you know, doing their job with social distancing, and everyone's on their own machine, and you're not really having a ton of interaction. I worked in golf maintenance. I know what that life is like. You can have people come in at different times. You don't necessarily have to start at 5 a.m. like you do on a normal day. But I guess just your thought there, and what are the tough decisions some courses might have to make on that front?
Yeah, so really good point there. So There was a statement from the NGCOA that's working with the government of Ontario that said golf course maintenance is an essential service. So I think there will be some wiggle room there to have some employees of the golf course continue to work, and whether that's maybe only the superintendent and assistant superintendent, coming in maybe at staggered times. Maybe one guy starts an hour before the other guy, and they just communicate via cell phone and whiteboard or something like that, and perform those essential services on a golf course. I think that's where the middle ground is there right now. But there's like for Alberta, it takes a big crew to open up a golf course. It's not really the same as, let's say, Vancouver Island, where Cowichan or a golf course like that could just have two guys come in on stagger times and never see each other, and maybe they walk to work. Like those scenarios do exist in golf, and so it makes sense for them. But to open up, let's say a busy public golf course like your Heritage Point or something like that, you're going to need a crew of 25 people working for 2 weeks straight to prepare that golf course. So is that going to be worth it? Is making that, let's say, go back to my example of that one sum every half an hour for, however much they're going to make. Is that worth $1,800 for the golf course to spend all that money to get it ready early? I don't think so. So my sense, Will, is that everything is going to get pushed back, including opening the golf courses. So the actual essential service of a golf course, what's that going to look like? I'm not too sure on the details. I don't know how a superintendent would write that out. But I think it's doable, and I think it's pretty reasonable to, in my opinion, to allow some essential services to keep a golf course, moderately healthy.
You mentioned it, Todd, in your math. You've done a little bit of number crunching, not anywhere the level that some owners would have to do, but I guess just for some, we talk about all these local businesses that are going to be struggling. We encourage people to order takeout from these local restaurants that have been closed due to the COVID-19, pandemic. What are the challenges a golf course owner or even your group's working with at the golf center? I mean, what are the financial hurdles and math you're having to do almost on a daily basis? Because things do change on a 24-hour period quite dramatically. There's a little bit of math and number crunching going on daily here.
Yeah, there really is. And, I actually called my GM this morning to chat about things before coming on. And, you can look at these decisions as black or white. You either close or you don't. But then if you make the decision to open or to operate or to have, like you mentioned, the restaurant or onesomes go out on the golf course or the crews come out to do a little bit of work, then it becomes a financial decision. How much money are you willing to spend versus lose based on what decision? And yeah, those owners, operators are going to be really looking to be as innovative as possible. And, if they're going to do curbside pickup or something like that from their restaurant to keep their guys on, I can understand that. I totally do. What I'm really hoping that our industry does is kind of alluded to in another sentence here. And it says in the statement, we look forward to better and healthier days. And when the time is right for Canadians to return to recreational normalcy, clubs and courses will be ready to welcome golfers back to the tee. So I think that is a really good summary of what our industry should be doing while we close. We need to innovate. We need to have things happen in this game of golf that we've been putting off and kind of twiddling our thumbs about. And I think this is hopefully going to force some innovation, whether it's kiosks at the front tee box to check in, whether it's just a better, more robust booking and payment system, online lessons. That's going to be something where the delivery of that, it's getting better every day. If you want to, transfer your lesson efforts or finances to an online coach, even in town, it's doable. I'm doing that right now. So I'm kind of hoping that we use this time to really take it, I don't know how to say it, but not to take advantage, but to come up with new ideas. Slow play, for example. Slow play has always been an issue.
Yeah.
So what's something we can do that maybe works with the pandemic rules, but also works with slow play. For example, if you're walking and you're fast, you go first. You get those tee times. You know, some courses have implemented things like that, but maybe it's time for this to be something that all of golf does. Score and
yeah,
or
certain yeah, or certain tee times, you have to use a card. Even if you prefer walking, you have to use one or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's tons of different ways to do things. And that's what our industry is going to do in the next couple of weeks, ideally, is to figure out ways to improve the offering. Simple as that. And that's where innovation is. So, you know, I always want to be positive in a downturn, but when it comes to a business side of things, that's where you see the biggest changes in business is when you're in an economic downturn, because so many other companies, they're just not, it's not going to work anymore. Blockbuster gone, right? Like there, there's going to be things like that that happen in golf, and it's, I'm excited to see it. I just don't think it's going to be for a little while.
So what else is keeping you occupied? We had a little golf tip last week about practicing and keeping your skills sharp indoors. Have you been following your own tips? And what else is, I guess, going on in the household of Todd Halpin?
Sure. Well, I have not been following my own tips.
Shameful.
I've been doing,
shame on you,
doing
Todd.
Some,
shame on you.
I've been doing some conditioning work here. I have a coach that works with my better players and a couple tour players that he works with. And so he wrote a golf at home program. So I've been doing that. So that's promising. But man, without getting out and running around for 10, 12 hours a day, it doesn't take long to gain a few LBs. So I need to maybe double up those workouts. But
yeah,
most of the work I've been doing is basically transferring a lot of my offering over to an online delivery. So like, online delivery of that content, and trying to do similar things with the academy side of the business and becoming innovative. I mean, for example, I've already drawn up schematics of our south end of our academy where I can guarantee 2 meters distance for kids. So ideally, you know, count maybe say like July 15th, when families are a little more comfortable, maybe putting kids into a group of four or six or something like that. And if I can guarantee that they're going to be spaced adequately the whole time, there's a chance that we fill that class. And maybe that means buying a little bit more equipment. Maybe that means more buffer times to arrive and leave. We'll see. But yeah, really trying to figure out how to continue to make golf one of the best things that people can do with their recreational time.
And I do apologize. I'm sure you've mentioned it. Can folks still reach out to you? Are there online one-on-one type opportunities out there? Do they exist right now?
Yeah, definitely. So for myself, you can just reach out on email, any kind of social media, direct message. And basically what we'll do is usually about an hour, maybe a little bit more than an hour, just a full online consultation. We'll go through a questionnaire, just really get a sense of what your home training environment is like. And that's actually, you know, kind of sounds strange, but it's where my skill set is even more effective as a coach, because there's so much information out there about how to practice when you're on the golf course, when you are on the driving range. But, you know, we need to really take a look at what resources you have. Like, do you have a backyard or not? Are you in a condo building? What does that look like? And so we'll kind of go through a bit of a consult and basically design an hour a day of training and monitor that progress. So yeah, I got a handful of people doing that, but not hugely my focus right now. I'm trying to look more big picture and really prepare for the years to come, or even like July, August kind of thing.
Todd, appreciate the time, man. We will we'll check back in next week. Who knows what that conversation will hold, but as I mentioned, every 24-hour cycle feels like a full week. So maybe some more information out there when we chat again next week. But thanks for your time this morning, man.
Yeah, no problem, Will. And if anyone's curious about what's happening, the PGA of Canada, the PGA of Alberta, or my Twitter, good places to look for those updates. You know, it's coming fast and furious. So every day there's probably going to be some updates. So yeah, check us out on social. We'll be posting that stuff and hopefully keeping everyone on the same page with what we have to do to prevent the spread.